All right, Chabosai, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf needs no introduction. Today's daf is Kuf Yud Gimel 113 in Maseches Sanhedrin. In Maseches Sanhedrin, our shir this morning and this month is dedicated by Yonah and Shushi Ehrenfeld in memory of Yonah's grandfather, Reb Gedalia ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. So I'll say, let's begin an exciting, riveting, transformative, overwhelmingly beautiful daf this morning. So we'll say Kuf Yud Gimel 113. We are picking up Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis 112b, which we have a lot to do today. We're picking up from Tanan Hassam. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. Tanan Hassam. Isa Shalmai Shalom. We'll say, so again, remember, we're still in the midst of Irani Dachos, and Irani Dachos is going to be the way we're going to close out this Masechta Amir Tzashem. Tanan Hassam. So we learned there. Isa Shalmeister Sheni Ptura Minachal de Rebbe Meir. So we'll say interesting discussion. Meister Sheni. What's Meister Sheni? Meister Sheni is a tithe that I have to separate, but Lemaisa, again, that tithe is mine. It belongs to me. I have the right to eat it, with one caveat, which is I have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So it's an interesting discussion. Do you have to separate out Chala from Meister Sheni or not? Rebbe Meir says, no, you don't have to separate out Chala from Meister Sheni. On the other hand, Chachamim Mechaibin, Chachamim say you can. Excuse me, say you must. So I will say, Bepashtos, what this Machlokia seems to be about, is how you look at Meister Sheni. Is Meister Sheni what we'll call Mamon Prati? Does it belong to the individual? Or is it Mamon Elyon? Or is it, does it belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If it's mine, then it's Chayvin Chala. If it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's not Chayvin Chala. Says the Gemara, Amar Avchis, the Machlokis by Meister Sheni B'Yerushalayim. The Machlokis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is only with Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim itself. Why? Rabbi Meir Saver, Meister Sheni Mamon Gavohu, because it will say, even in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Meir holds that Meister Sheni is considered to be Mamon Gavoa, is considered to be the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, again, it's not Chayvin Meister. For Rabbanon Savri Mamon Hedjotu. And the Rabbanon hold, no, once it gets to Yerushalayim, then what Rabbo is saying, then it's considered to be individual property. Once it's considered to be personal property, then by definition it is going to be Chayiv in Chala. However, again, Aval Bigvulin, Rabbo say, first wide line, Kofi Beis Amud Beis. But however, Bigvulin outside of Yerushalayim, Divrei HaKol Potter. Everyone will agree that what? Everyone will agree that it's Pater. We'll say, why does everybody agree that it's Pater outside of Yerushalayim? Because it's considered to be Mamon Gavoa. It's considered to be ultimately, again, the Mamon, the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi of Al Bigvulin, She'in Laheter Achila El Bebdia, since outside of Yerushalayim, everyone agrees you can't eat it unless you redeem it. Thiriakal Ptura Min Achala, the Mamon Gavoa. So also you see from here that what? That Meister Sheni is considered to be the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now why is this important for us? Massive Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef raises a kasha. Meister Sheni the Kisei Kodesh Ignozu. So we'll say this. Remember again, we learned in the Mishnah that when it comes to Irani Dachas, if there's Meister Sheni or there is Kisvei Kodesh, holy writings, you put them in Geniza. So we'll say, what's the case? Now we'll say, B'mai Askinan, Imam Yerushalayim, if we're talking about Irani Dachas, if we're talking about Yerushalayim becoming an Irani Dachas, Mihab Irani Dachas, so we'll say Yerushalayim can become an Irani Dachas. Vatanya, Sardzvar, Nerum, Yerushalayim, Zuachas, man, Eman Asas Irani Dachas. So we learn this Gemara, there are 10 things, 10 unique qualities associated with Yerushalayim, and one of those qualities is that Yerushalayim cannot become an Irani Dachas. Ve'elobi Iracheres. So what's the case? The case of Osei must be that this is Meister Sheni, or this is an Irani Dachos that is occurring in another city. In other words, not Yerushalayim. Vaskua, so, but what about the Meister Sheni? So they took the Meister Sheni, of course they were called City A. They took the Meister Sheni out of City A. Vaskua Lagava. And what happens, they take it to Yerushalayim, and then Osei, after they brought that Meister Sheni to Yerushalayim, then what? Then the City A was declared an Irani Dachos. So if that's the case, Hakal Tua Mechizos. But at that point in time, the walls of Yerushalayim have already absorbed the Meister Sheni. And therefore, again, by definition, it should really be separate and distinct from whatever would happen in the Irani Dachos. Elalav Bigvulin. Rather, no, we have to say that we're talking about over here, Meister Sheni in outlying cities. Yet, Vikatani Yignozu. Yet, I will say, what do you see? You see that ultimately, again, the halacha is you have to put it away. Now, I will say, the fact that you have to put Meister Sheni in Geniza tells you that what, Rabbi Osei? That the Meister Sheni is the property of the individual. Because if it was indeed Mamon Gavoa, then what? then it should remain totally unaffected. The fact that you have to take Maaser Sheni of an Irani Dachos in a city outside of Yerushalayim, and you have to put it in Geniza, tells me that Lemaisa, again, it's Mamon Yochid, it belongs to the individual. To which the Gemara says, Lo, the Olam di Iracheres. No, what's the case? The case we'll say is it's Maaser Sheni, you're right, in a city outside of Yerushalayim, Vasko Legava. And indeed, they brought it to Yerushalayim. What's the case? Vacham Askinon, Shenitma. So the case of Yerabo says where the Maaser Sheni became Tomei. One second, but if it became Tami Vilifarke, why not go ahead and Vilifarke, why not just go ahead and redeem it? Tamar Balazar, Minai the Maaser Sheni, Shinitma, Shepodin Osaf Yerushalayim, we'll say, how do we know that even if Maaser Sheni became Tamei, even in Yerushalayim you could redeem it? Tamulomar lo suchal seiso. Vein seis ala achiva, Shinemar, Vaisa masas meis parav. Hacham asking, I will say, what's the case? The case over here is Bilakuach. The case over here is ultimately, again, where the Maaser Sheni was already redeemed, money was used to purchase new food, and then that new food became Tamei. So the Maaser says, I don't understand. We'll say, top of Kuf Yud Gimel. We'll say, you know what's something special, by the way, when you just see the shape, the Tzura Sadaf here, which is quite beautiful. The Lifrake, and we'll say, go ahead and redeem it. I don't understand, even if, so we'll say, the Gemara saying over here, this specific case of Maaser Sheni is a situation where I redeemed the Maaser Sheni already, took the money, because remember, we'll say, the halacha is, if you have a lot of Maaser Sheni and you don't want to carry it all to Yerushalayim, so there's a simple remedy. What's the simple remedy? Redeem it for money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and you use the money to Yerushalayim to purchase food. Okay, now we're saying that food that you purchased became Tomei. Someone says, so who cares? Meaning, why isn't the same mechanism of redemption available to me? To which the Gemara says, Disnan, Halokeach Bekesef Maaser Shenitma Yifteh. Ultimately, again, because we learned in the Mishnah that if one goes ahead and redeems Maaser Sheni and then uses that money to go ahead and purchase food in Yerushalayim and it becomes Tamei Yifta, you can go ahead and redeem it. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda da Amar Yikbar, because our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda who says, no, that you have to bury it. Ihochi, if that's the case. My Irya Irani Dachos. But say that's the case, and these halachos of Maaser Sheni are not unique to an Irani Dachos. Is the Mishnah coming to teach me stam halachos of Maaser Sheni that apply everywhere? Afilo da alminami. I will say the halacha would be the same by other places as well. Elo the ola matar. Rather, I will say again, we'll say just so we keep clear on what we're trying to do over here. The Mishnah went through everything you have to do with the property of the Irani Dachos. So on a simple level, what do you have to do with the property of the Irani Dachos? What do you do with it? You destroy it. Then the Mishnah tells me there are certain exceptions to that rule. Among those exceptions, Kitzvei HaKodesh, Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, different things like that. What do? Yignozu. Among, in that same category, Maaser Sheni. Person has Maaser Sheni. So you put in Geniza. So we're just trying to figure out what that means. Why is it that I am putting the Maaser Sheni in Geniza? Where is that Maaser Sheni now? Is that Maaser Sheni in the Irani Dachas? Is it somewhere else? We're just trying to figure out the scope and the parameters of this ruling. So therefore, the Gemara says, Elio, we'll say, Kuf Yod Gimel. 113, three lines down. Elio, the Olam Bitar. Rather, I will say, what's the case? The case over here is, you're right, we're dealing with regular Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, which is Tar. Ukigom denafal mechitzos. And I will say, what's the case? Listen to this. The case is where the Maaser Sheni was brought into Yerushalayim, but the walls of Yerushalayim fell down. The walls fell down. Uchid Rava. We'll say, what does this mean? Uchid Rava. Da Amar Rava. Mechitza le'achol da'oraisa. We'll say, the idea, if you look at Rashi, we'll say it's almost right across in Rashi. Mechitzos le'achol. Rashi says, Minatora mitzvah le'achol lefne menachomo. So we'll say, mid'oraisa, Maaser Sheni has to be eaten in the walls of Yerushalayim. Has to be consumed in the walls of Yerushalayim. Liklot drabanan. However, again, we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Avam mechitzos liklot. Sheyiyu mechitzos koltos. Bein inyan pedia. Bein lechol inyan medirabananu. Vichi. Gozer rabanan de tehani klitas mechitzos lemaiser. Deshuv in yochal ifdoso. Ule inyan irani dachas nami. Sholye bisrefa. Hecha disnu be mechitzos. So, we'll say, listen to this. Furthermore, Chazal instituted and they said the following. Once, mid'oraisa, you have to eat your Maaser Sheni within the walls of Yerushalayim. The Rabbanan came along and said, once you bring your Maaser Sheni into the walls, you can no longer redeem your Maaser Sheni. You can no longer redeem it. I will say, furthermore, Chazal also said that if Maaser Sheni that originated from an Irani Dachos is in the walls of Yerushalayim, it remains untouched. It does not get burned with the rest of the property from Irani Dachos. Because remember what we learned yesterday? the property of the residents of the Eir Nidachos that's destroyed is not just their property in the city. What else does it apply to? Any nearby property as well. So I will say, the idea, so midirabanan, when the walls, once the Mashiach comes into the walls of Shem, two things happen. Number one, you can't redeem it. Number two, it effectively becomes disassociated from its place of origin, from the Eir Nidachos. However, says the Gemara, when did Chazal say that the walls, that once it's in the walls, he can't redeem it, and once it's in the walls, it becomes disassociated from his point of origin? That's ki isnu l'mechitza. Rabbi will say, that's when the walls are standing. Ki lesnu l'mechitza lo. Rabbi will say, when the walls of Yerushalayim are no longer standing, then this halacha no longer applies. Which means what, Rabbi will say? Now we begin to understand our Mishnah. What's the case of the Mishnah, Rabbi will say? The case of the Mishnah is, somebody from the Eir Nidachos brought his Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Then what happens? After he brings it to Yerushalayim, so the city is declared in Eir Nidachos. Let's say, Rabbi said, Eir Nidachos is in close proximity to Yerushalayim. So now the Shaila is, what do we do with his Maaser Sheni? Do we burn his Maaser Sheni? Do we destroy his Maaser Sheni or not? Or do we have to do something with his Maaser Sheni? So we'll say, so again, if the walls are standing, then what's the halacha? If the walls are standing, no. If the walls are standing, we don't touch the Maaser Sheni. Because when the walls are standing, then again, midirabanan, the Maaser Sheni is disassociated from its point of origin. The case of the Mishnah Rabosa is where he brought the Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim, and unfortunately, the walls of Yerushalayim are not standing. Well, in that case, Rabosa, then what? Then the Maaser Sheni is connected to its point of origin. But out of deference to the fact that it's already in Yerushalayim, we're not going to bring it back to the Eir Nidachos to burn it. So instead, what do? We put it in Geniza. We put it in Sheamus, right? We bury it. We treat it with covet, but ultimately, again, it is treated to a certain degree like property of Eir Nidachos. Incredible. Incredible. So says the Gemara, Kisvei HaKodesh Ignozu. We'll say next, right? If there are scrolls, holy writings in the Eir Nidachos are also hidden away. Masnis Ndoluk Rabbi Elazar. So we'll say, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar. Why? It's not Rabbi Elazar. So we'll say, so remember again, listen to this. It's not Rabbi Elazar. Kol Ir Sheyishba Afilu Mezuzah Achos Eina Naasis Eir HaNidachos. So we'll say, remember again, we learned that any city that has even one mezuzah cannot be made into an Eir HaNidachos. So we'll say, incredible. If the city has even one mezuzah, can't become a Eir Nidachos. Shene Amar, Visarafta Ba'ish Es Ha'ir Ves Kol Shla La Kalil. Because we'll see what's Allah Ba'ir Nidachos. Eir Nidachos, you have to destroy everything. Everything. Ve'hecha Di'ika Mezuzah Lo Efshar. Then I will say, where there is a mezuzah in the city, you can't destroy everything. Why? Because you can't destroy a mezuzah. Why can't you destroy a mezuzah? Dechsev Lo Sa'asukein LaHashem Elokeichem. Because Rabbi Osai, the Pasuk says, you shall not do this to Hashem, your God. Now, Rabbi Osai, so the Rush and the Marasha point out that this Gemara seems to back up the assertion. If you remember, again, we learned a while ago that, Rabbi Osai, you know, in all of those sugis, remember when we were learning about Ben Sora Umora? So Rabbi Osai says, Machlokes, so whether or not Ben Sora Umora ever happened. So there's an opinion that says, Ben Sora Umora, lo hayav lo yia, never happened. So Rabbi Osai, remember, again, we learned that Gemara, there was the same opinion about Eir Nidachos. There was an opinion that said Eir Nidachos never happened and never will happen. Rabbi said that seems to be supported by Rabbi Elazar. Because could there ever be such a situation of a Jewish city where there's not even one mezuzah? I mean, it's an impossibility. It's absolute impossibility. Therefore, again, Rabbi said, so that the Rishonim point out that this Gemara would seem to be a rayo to that opinion that Eir Nidachos never happened and never will happen. But in any event, the Gemara is teaching us an important yisod, which is, what was I just so you understand the nature of this Gemara? One mezuzah could save a city. One mezuzah could save a city. It's the power of even one Maisa Tov, the power of one act. You know, we'll say sometimes we think that our actions are inconsequential. We think that our actions don't mean anything. We think, what's the power of one mitzvah? We'll say, I have no idea what the power of one mitzvah is, but I can tell you one thing. One mezuzah could save an entire city. And a mezuzah is not even a komase, right? What is a mezuzah? You put it on your doorpost, and then you go about your life. One time, it's one action. But yet, that one mezuzah could save a city. If one mezuzah could save a city, we'll say, one act of chesed, one tzedakah, one line of gemara, one might. Who knows the power of our actions? Incredible. Says the Gemara, this actually, the Gemara over here is talking about the machlokes, about what you could do with the Eir HaNidachos. Can you rebuild an Eir HaNidachos or not? So says the Gemara, Lema b'drabi avin am rabbi loy kamiflagi. Let's say that Rabbi Akiva, and who was it in the it was Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that you have to destroy the Eir HaNidachos and You cannot rebuild it at all. Meaning you can't even make it into ganos upardesim. You can't even make it into gardens or orchards. Rabbi Akiva says you can't rebuild the city, but you can make it into gardens or orchards. So the Gemara is suggesting, what's at the root of their machlokes? Lema but Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Eloi Kamiflegi, say that they're arguing about this. Name Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Eloi. Dem Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Eloi. Kol makom sha'atamotze klal ba'asei. Uprat belo sa'asei. Ain done in also bechalal uprat. So we'll say. So Rabbi Avni Ravloi says the following. So we know that one of the exegetical principles that we have is klal uprat. Klal uprat. So we'll say a general statement and a specific statement. Rabbi Loi says over here, any time where the klal is mentioned in the context, ultimately again of an aseva, positive commandment, and the prat, the specificity or the exclusion, is written. Well, really, the specific item is written in the context of the prohibition. Ain done in also bichlal uprat. And also that's how Irani Dachas is phrased. So we don't judge this then as a regular case of klal uprat. So the Gemara says, Dimar islay Rabbi Avin, Umar leslay Rabbi Avin. So maybe this is what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili are arguing about, to which the Gemara says, we're not going to get too into because the Gemara just dismisses it. Lo, Dichuli Alma islay Rabbi Avin. Now everybody agrees with that principle. So what does the Machlokes say, Rabbi Yossi? Alcha b'hakam eflugi. Mar savar, Rabbi Yossi, here's the Shaila. The Shaila is the Pasuk says, after you destroy the Irani Dachas, the Pasuk reads, V'haysa tel olam, it will be a mound, it will be a mound forever. Lo sibana od. Lo sibana od. You cannot rebuild it anymore. I will say the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi is how you interpret that one word, od. Mar sover, od, legamrei mashma. So one opinion says od means in totality. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right? Od, you can't build anything. You can't put anything there. I will say the idea is it remains a tell. What's a tell? A mound. In other words, you leave it destroyed, you leave debris, you leave everything there. You can't put anything there. Umar sover, od, lekimashaisa. Well, the other opinion, namely Rabbi Akiva, holds that od means what? Od means you can't go ahead and restore it to what it once was. But lemaisa, again, but lemaisa, you do have the right to go ahead and make it into ganos upardesim. So I will say, amazingly enough, the Rambam actually passing is like Rabbi Akiva. That the halacha is you cannot rebuild an ir miklat, excuse me, not ir miklat, you cannot rebuild an ir nidachos, but you can go ahead and essentially transform it into parkland. You know, you want to make it into ganos upardesim, you want to make it into orchards, vineyards, you can do whatever you want, you just can't rebuild it into a city. Says the Gemara, weiter. Tanabana. How you buy a solution? Rabbi, listen to this. Let's say in the Irani Dachos there were uprooted trees. In other words, let's say Rabbi say there were felled trees, right? There were trees that were already detached from the ground. So asurin, ultimately again, so those trees Rabbi say are set aside for non-use. You cannot go ahead and use them. However, michubarin, if at the end of the day they are still attached to the ground, so mechubar mutar. We'll say if they're attached to the ground, then ultimately again one is permitted to use it. Now we'll say take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's not exactly a cross. It's like halfway down the column. Mechubar mutarin. So we'll say why is it that attached trees will be permitted ultimately again for use? Rashi says the tikbots v'saraf to amra rachmana. Because also remember again the pasuk says that when talking about the property of the Irani Dachos, tikbos v'sarafta, you shall gather the property and you shall go ahead and burn it. So the Gemara says, Misha ina mechusar ela kvitsa usreifa. Both say the only property that has to be destroyed in the Irani Dachos is the property that is only lacking gathering and burning. Yatzazah, shemechusar talisha u kvitsa usreifa. Comes to exclude the trees, which if you want to destroy them, need what? Both say, felling, cutting down, and then gathering and burning. Both say this goes back to our Shetel discussion from yesterday. So therefore, again, attached trees are not destroyed. Detached trees are destroyed. So the Gemara says, Shalira Acheres, however, if there are trees from another city, then Bein Tlushin, Bein Mechubarin Aser. Whether the trees are detached or whether the trees are attached, ultimately, again, it will be Aser. Ma'ir Acheres. So we'll say, what does that mean, trees from another city? We'll say, listen to this. Amrav Chiste Yericho. It means actually not trees of another city, which are brought into the Irani Dachos, but rather it's referring to trees of a different city. Which different city are we referring to? We will say we're referring to the city of Yericho, Dichsiv, because we will say the Pasuk by Yericho says the following. Pasuk says, Vaisoha ir chirim lahashem. Pasuk says that ultimately the ear of the city will be a chayra. We'll say chayra means it will be destroyed in a state of destruction for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea is, remember, Yericho is the first city that is conquered upon Yoshua's entry with the people into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, by definition, the pasuk says part of the idea is to be an eternal sign for the conquest of the city, is the city was to remain in a state of destruction, and therefore, again, the pasuk says Vayishva Yoshua ba'isa hilimor. Yoshua swears, he makes an oath at that time, saying, "Arur ha'ish lefnei Hashem asher yakum ubana es ha'ir hazos es Yericho." So Yoshua will say, hands down a shvua. What's the shvua? What's the oath? Cursed is the person who will go before Hashem, who will rebuild this city. Bibichori Yisadena, with the death of his firstborn, will he lay the foundation stone. Ubitziro Yatsiv Delasel. And with his youngest child, he will go ahead and put up its doors. And Zabo said, if anybody tries to go ahead and rebuild Yericho, they will pay for it dearly. With the beginning of the construction process, they will pay with the life of their oldest child, and with the end of the construction process, they will go ahead and pay with the life of their youngest child. So therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that when the Gemara says, however, Eitzim shall ira cheres, bein tlush bein mechubar aser, the trees of another city, whether they are attached or detached, are aser. Ultimately, again, that refers to Yericho. So Tanya, lo Yericho shem, so Rosh said, now the Gemara goes again, now that we've mentioned Yericho, this morning we're going to speak a little bit about Yericho. Lo Yericho shem iracheres, velo iracheres al shem Yericho. They both say, you can't rebuild Yericho. Now you can't rebuild Yericho, even if you call it by a different name. So lo Yericho shem iracheres, you can't rebuild Yericho even if you're going to call it a different name. V'lo iracheres al shem Yericho. Nor can you build another city and name it Yericho. So the Gemara says, L'yericho al shem iracheres, v'lo iracheres al shem Yericho. Dechsev. So we'll also listen to this. The Gemara over here quotes the episode from the Nevi'im, from Malachim Aleph, where there was a man who tried to rebuild Yericho. So the pasuk says, Bana Chiel, Beis Ha'ili Es Yericho. So we'll say, a man by the name of Chiel. Chiel decided to rebuild Yericho. And Nebach, what happened? Ba'aviram Bechoro Yosda. So again, we literally, with the death of Aviram, his oldest son, did he lay the foundation. U'besiguf Tziro Heitziv Delosel. And with the death of his youngest son, Skuv, did he go ahead and set up the doors? So the idea over here is that when Chiel tries to go ahead and rebuild Yericho, he pays again for laying the foundation with the death of his oldest son, and with the death of his youngest son, he sets up the doors. Tanya. So the Gemara said, the Gemara talks a little bit about this. I said, Tanya. Ba'aviram b'choro rasha. Lo haya l'lomot. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Brisa says the following. You know, when Chiel started this process, so when his oldest son, Aviram, died, Aviram b'chor Rasha, lo haya l'lomot. Maybe Chiel didn't understand his lesson with the death of his firstborn son. You know, maybe when he started this process, he wasn't fully aware and fully cognizant of what he was doing wrong. However, u'besuguf tziro haya l'lomot. By the time he got to the doors and he lost ultimately his youngest son, Skuv, he should have understood that what he was doing was in fact dramatically wrong. So the Gemara says, one second, Aviram uSkuv, my Ovid. So we'll see, interesting enough, the way the Gemara is understanding the Pasuk over here is that the Pasuk is calling Aviram and Skuv Rishon. But what did Aviram and Skuv do? Meaning, why Chiel's a Rasha, because Chiel's rebuilding, he's rebuilding Yericho, which is Aser. But what did his kids do wrong? To which the Gemara says, Hachi Kamer, this is what it means to say, Hachi Kamer, Ba'aviram Bechoro, Hayala Lilmod Lo'osa Rasha. It will say, when it came, with the death of his oldest son, Aviram, Chiel, the Rasha, should have understood this lesson. Chiel, the Pasuk is not calling the kids the Rasha. The Pasuk is calling the father, Chiel, the Rasha. If we already know that Aviram is the Bechor, don't they know that Skuv is his youngest child? Why does it have to say, Matam Alomar Skuv Tziro? Melamed Shahaya Mikaber Vaholech Ma'aviram Atzkuv. This is actually a very dramatic Gemara. It teaches me, Abosai, that when Chiel began the process of rebuilding Yericho, he lost his oldest son, Aviram, at the beginning of the construction process, and his children kept dying out over the course of rebuilding Yericho. Until finally, when he completed the project, he put up the doors with the death of his youngest son, Skuv. But you will say, Bethi, if you think about it, it's such a dramatic idea. You think to yourself, Chiel, What are you doing? What are you doing? But Rabbi say, you see at the end of the day that sometimes people become so vested in their decisions. People become so vested in their way of life. And Rabbi say, lest you think, oh, you're so crazy. Let's say people do this all the time. When we see that the things that we've decided are wrong, they're not the right thing. It's not right for me. It's not right for my mishpacha. It's not right for my life. It's not right for lifestyle change. But I or lifestyle decision. But I embed myself in a certain lifestyle. I embed myself in a certain mahalik in life. And even when I realize that it's really not right, it's really not the way I should be going, it's very difficult to pull yourself back. I have so much invested in this way of life. I have so much invested in this decision that it's hard for me to do a 180 on it. So this is a dramatic example of it, I will say. This is a self-destructive example about it. But unfortunately, ma'isim b'chayom, that we sometimes do things like chiyal as well. So I will say, the Gemara tells an amazing story. Achov shoshvine hava. Achav, I will say, was the friend of Chiel. Achav, remember again, Achav was an incredible Rasha. Achav was Melech Yisrael. He was the king over Malchus Yisrael. And he was a friend of Chiel. So what happens? So Chiel's sitting Shiva now for his children. Children. So what happens? Can't even imagine this scene. Eliyahu Hanavi, and Achav come to be Menachem Avol to Chiel. I will say, you have to understand something. This is pretty wild. First of all, who can imagine them walking in the door together? Right? Remember again, Achav has effectively institutionalized Avodah Zarah throughout entire Malchus Yisrael. Achav is doing really, really, really bad stuff. The only person who maybe trumps Achav is his wife, Izebel. He and Elio don't exactly enjoy the warmest of relationships, to put it mildly. And again, they're both coming in to be Menachem Avol Techiel, who lost his kids. And why did he lose his kids? Because he violated the Shavuah of Yoshua and he rebuilt Yericho. Okay, so watch this. Yosef Ikamar. So listen to this. So they're sitting and they're talking. And Achav begins to say the following. Achav is trying to help Chiel understand why all of these negative things occurred. Ikamar Dilma. Kimelet Yoshua Hachi Lot. So Achav says, you know, Chiel, I've been thinking about you, and I've been thinking the following. Maybe the reason you lost your kids was because, which I will say, by the way, you also see just an incredibly, almost like brutish-like insensitivity. Maybe the reason you lost your kids was because when Yoshua cursed anyone who rebuilds Yericho, maybe what he meant was the following. Lo Yericho Hashem Yiracheres. You can't rebuild the city of Yericho with another name. Lo Yiracheres Hashem Yericho. And you can't rebuild another city somewhere else and call it Yericho. Amar Le Elio. In. Elio says, yeah, correct. Chiel, the reason you lost your kids is because you decided to rebuild the city of Yericho on the spot and call it Yericho. That's right, Menorah's Achav, spot on, absolutely correct. Amrlei, then Achav says, well, so listen to this, so listen to the chutzpah. After Eliyahu Hanavi says, in, the Navi Hashem says, yes, Achav says, no, that can't really be true, I'll tell you why. Amrlei, hashta, lavtasa, demosha, lokamakaima, can't be. Because the curses of Moshe Rabbeinu don't come true. What are the curses of Moshe Rabbeinu? Rabbeinu say, "Dichsev v'sartem v'avaratem." Because what the pasuk says, the Kosh Baruch Hu says, "If you worship Avodah Zarah, uksev v'chara af Hashem v'achem v'yatzaras Hashemayim." What you sing Kriyat Shema every single day? That if we go ahead and we abandon the way of Kosh Baruch Hu, we abandon the way of God, then what? The Ribbono Shel Olam will get angry at us, and ultimately, again, the Yatzaras Hashemayim will withhold the rain. So if we worship idolatry, God withholds the rain. Achav says, you see, the Torah is not true. If the curses of Moshe aren't true, why? Vahu Gavra, it also says, referring to himself, this man, Achav says, look at me. Okin le'avodas kochavim, I'll call Telem and Telem. I have put Avodah Zarah in every single mound throughout Malchus Yisrael. Velo shavik le, and the truth is, the only reason I haven't gotten to worship all of them is because, velo shavik le mitra, demezel maskid le. The only reason I haven't worshipped every single Avodah Zarah that I placed on every single mount is because the rainfall has been so heavy that it has made all of the roads muddy. So I'll say, hear this chutzpah? So Achav's coming along and saying, it can't be that it's the curse of Yoshua that caused you to lose your children, because the curses of Moshe Rabbeinu don't even come true. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, whoever worships Avodah Zarah, God's going to withhold the rain. Not true. Not true. I worship Avodah Zarah like a beast. And you know what? At the end of the day, I can't even get everywhere because of the ridiculous rainfall. So it's pashut not true. Laftasa di Yoshua tamidim ekaima. Right? So ultimately, again, If the curses of Moshe Rabbeinu don't come true, the curses of Yehoshua do come true. So also, you have to understand that, you know, Eliyahu HaNavi, who, you have to understand, Eliyahu HaNavi's strong point was not his people's skills. Also, just to understand, Eliyahu HaNavi was Isha MS. People who are people of truth, true people of MS, have difficulty in this world. And they have difficulty in this world because, Lemaisa, again, the world is filled with sheker. The world is filled with shaka. The world is filled with falsehood. The world is filled with disingenuous people. It's hard to find honesty. It's hard to find integrity. Eliyahu HaNavi has difficulty. He has difficulty in this world. So Eliyahu HaNavi spends also a lot of time in solitude. So Eliyahu HaNavi can't take this. He can't take this. He can't take the blasphemy. He can't take the chutzpah. So miyad vayomer Eliyahu atishbi mitosh v'agilad chay Hashem elokei Yisrael miyad tal umater. Eliyahu says, enough. Enough. I hereby swear that from this point forward, there will be no rain. Right? I make sure there will be no rain. Boy, Rachame, he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rabbi says, Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't have power to control the rain for one simple reason, which is, as we're going to see in just a moment, the key of rain is one of the three keys that rests in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does he do? Boy, Rachame, he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'havu le'aklida demitra v'kam v'azam. The Rebbe Shem gives him the key of rain. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him the key of rain, and Eliyahu HaNavi takes the key of rain and he leaves. From this point forward, there's a massive drought, I will say. So again, the Gemara understands that the drought is attributed to that fateful Shiva visit between Eliyahu HaNavi and Achav when you're visiting Chiel. V'ahi dvar Hashem elav leimor, lech mizeh, upanisa lecha kedma, v'nistarta b'nachal kris. So we'll say at this point in time, there's massive drought. Obviously, one could imagine, now that there's massive drought, Eliyahu HaNavi is not too high on Achav's favorites list. So Eliyahu HaNavi has to go into hiding. Where does he go into hiding? He goes and he hides in a place by Nachal Kris. That was the name of the place. How is he sustained? The ravens would bring him meat and bread every single morning. Where did they bring him meat and bread? From the Hecha. Let's listen to this. We'll say they would bring him meat and bread from Achav's kitchen. Right? The incredible, incredible irony. Right? Achav, who's mobilizing his forces to try to track down Eliyahu HaNavi and kill him, is mamish sustaining Eliyahu HaNavi and other Nevi'im each and every day. I will say, just, we're not going to get into it now, there happens to be an interesting discussion, of a kashrus discussion, just about eating the meat of Achav. We'll save it for a different time. We'll talk about it by the Siyam. Emir to Hashem. So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, now at this point in time, the drought becomes critical. The drought becomes critical. The riverbed dries up. Kilo hayageshamaris. There is no rain in the land. Kevan dechaza dikat sara ba'alma ksiv vayhi divar Hashem elav leimor. So we'll say, here's the problem. Eliyahu HaNavi seems to be unmoved by the suffering. What do I mean by unmoved by the suffering? Eliyahu HaNavi feels Kol Yisrael can undo this. If you want to undo it, do tshuva. But why should I yield 1 second before you do tshuva? And I was going to say, you could fix this. It's not beyond your control. You could change. So ksiv, so Gemara says, ksiv, vayid var Hashem elav leimor, kum lech tzarfata. Go to Tzarfat. O ksiv, vayiach haradrama, elechala ben isha balabai. So we'll say, the Navi describes that Eliyahu HaNavi went to a particular house of a particular family, and when he was there, his hostess, her son became very ill and died. So what happened? So a boy al rachami lemeitan le aklida de tchias amesin. You know, Davos Nachash Baruch Ribon Sholom, give me the key to tchias amesin. Give me the key to resurrect the dead. Amalei, Kishos, 1 second. Shalosh matechal zonim su lishliach. So there are three keys that I normally don't give out to any kind of emissary. Shal chaya, the key of life. Shal gshamim, the key of rain. Vishal tchias amesin, the key of resurrection. Yom rushtai, so now, Eliyahu HaNavi, you're already holding the key of rain. Now you want a second key? Now you want the second key? Yomru shtayim biyad talmid v'achas biyad harav. People will say that the student, the Talmud, has two keys, and the Rebbe only has one key. That's not right. I see ha, v'shakil ha. I'll make you a deal. Give me back the key of rain, and I'll give you the key to tchias ha'meisim. So I'll say, obviously, the Ribbono Shel needs back, kiviyachol, the key of rain, because it's amazing how the Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much more intense than the Rachmanis of man. And Eliyahu HaNavi is willing to play the game of chicken with Achav. Ultimately, the Ribon Shalom sees the collateral damage. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just simply not willing to let it go on any longer. So Eliyahu HaNavi, you give me back the key of rain, I'll give back the key of Tchias HaMesim. So the Gemara says, because we'll say right after that, what happens? First, Eliyahu resurrects the boy, he brings the boy back to life, and right afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eliyahu HaNavi, go up here to Achav and tell him that I'm going to bring back the rain. We'll say, what could this story be compared to? We'll say, this can be compared to someone who locks the gate, but then loses the key. Eliyahu HaNavi locked the gate, so to speak. He locked the gate, ultimately, again, of rain, but then he kiviyachal lost the key. He lost the opportunity to reopen it himself, and instead the Ribono Shel Olam takes the key and reopens it. Darash Rabbi Yossi b'Tzipori. So also listen to this, by the way, is amazing. Rabbi Yossi darash in Tzipori. Abba Eliyo. We'll say, Abba Eliyo, Rashi says, before you turn. So, Abba Eliyo, Chavivi Ugidoli. We'll say, Abba Eliyo is a term of covet, right? Right? Chavivi Gidoli. So, great person, Eliyo. Kapton Hava. So what's Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that Eliyahu HaNavi was a kapton. I will say, what does kapton mean? Look at Rashi. Ava kapton. Shekaos al Achav. So what's Eliyahu HaNavi got angry. Eliyahu HaNavi had, we'll say, by the way, you understand, anger is a manifestation of passion. Eliyahu HaNavi Yesu. Eliyahu HaNavi is Pinchas. Right, Pinchas was the kanoi. There is an element of kanos over here. So Rabbi Yossi says that Eliyahu was a captain. He had anger. He had anger. It was righteous indignation. It was righteous anger, but it was anger. Listen to this. I will say, so after Rabbi Yossi makes this statement, Havaragil, we'll say, by the way, captain doesn't really even mean angry as much. He's rash is shekaz, but rather captain means like when you're makbid on something, it means you stand your ground on things. You don't easily yield. Eliyahu HaNavi sees, and this goes back to what we said before, the Eliyahu HaNavi is Isha Emes. He's a man of truth. He sees that there's a right and there's a wrong. And when something is wrong, there's no need to capitulate to it. There's no need to yield to it. There's no need to give into it. You stand your ground. And I understand, at the end of the day, that's a difficult midah with which to go ahead and live life. But this Eliyahu HaNavi, so what happens? Havaragil lemeisei gabe. So Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Rabbi Yossi of Tzipori, used to throw in Eliyahu HaNavi every day. However, after Rabbi Yossi made this statement, so Eliyahu HaNavi didn't show up for 3 days. After 3 days, kiasa amrami amai lo asa. Rabbi Yossi says, Eliyahu, where were you? You didn't. First of all, it's interesting. Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes doesn't show up for chavrusos. Right? So Eliyahu HaNavi, where were you for the last 3 days? Amrali, amai lo asa mar. Amrali, captain karisili. She said to me, you called me a captain. Amrali, hadika mandika kapit mar. Exactly. I called you a captain and you get angry. You don't show up for 3 days. So you see, that's why I called you a captain. It was the idea that Rabbi Yossi was giving a little bit of musr to Eliyahu HaNavi, which don't try that at home. But he was going to look at Eliyahu HaNavi saying, ultimately, again, you have this midah, which is an incredibly powerful midah, but sometimes, again, it prevents you from seeing things better. We'll say, this is why we know Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Klal Yisrael, Hey, Feres Brisi, they've annulled your bris. They stopped doing mitzvah. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordained that Eliyahu HaNavi has to come to every single bris milah. Eliyahu HaNavi, the Isha MS, sometimes, sees things in a bit too critical of a fashion. That's what Rabbi was saying, you're too critical. So Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't show up for the Chavrusa for 3 days. Why didn't you show up? You call me too critical. Exactly. Why did you get angry? You could have a conversation about it. We could talk about it. You don't like what I called you. You don't like my categorization of you. That's fine. But you walked away from me for 3 days because you said that I'm correct. So that's an incredible Yisod. We'll say, just what do you take from a Gemara like this? I don't know. We'll say that you see that there, a person has to be careful how they approach the world. There is right, there is wrong. And even when but a person often has to be able to approach situations in life with a gentle balance. Sometimes the approach of Eliyahu HaNavi being a captain and always seeing everything in black and white and always taking a stand on every single thing doesn't really work if you want to be a part of greater society, if you want to be a part of a community, if you want to be a part of a mishpacha, if you want to be a part of a chevra, that a person ultimately has to be, like we saw before, like rach kikana. Sometimes a person has to be a bit more flexible. A person has to be a bit more understanding. A person has to be a bit more, even I have to know MS, but I also have to understand other people come from different perspectives. I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to accept it. But I have to recognize it. A person has to be able to bend like the reed and sometimes can't be as stiff as the cedar. So the Gemara goes back. The Bo said, let's finish. So the Gemara says, "V'lo yidbak biyadcham u'umam en acherim kol zman she'rasham ba'olam charon af ba'olam." As long as Rasham in this world, there is divine wrath in this world. Man Rasham. The Bo said, who are the Rasham? Amar Rav Yosef Ganvi. So Rav Yosef says, the real Rishonim in this world are thieves. Because we'll say, thievery represents just a fundamental breakdown in respect for the other. When you take something for someone else, it means you have absolutely no respect for the other individual. Tan Rabbanan, Rasha Bali Olam, Charon, Charon Bali Olam. When the Rasha comes to the world, divine wrath comes to the world. Shene Emar, Bevo Rasha, Gam Ba Gam Buz, Va'am Kalon Cherpa, Rasha Avimina Olam. When a Rasha is lost from the world, in other words, when a Rasha dies, Tova Bali Olam, then about say ultimately good comes to the world. Shene Emar, Uba'avod Rishayim Rina. When the Rishayim are lost, there is rejoicing. I've also had this idea that when there's Rishus in the world, ultimately it detracts from all of us. When Rasha leaves the world, there's more light. Tzadik Niftar Min Olam. When Nebach, the Tzadik leaves this world, Ra'a Ba'al Yolam. I will say there's a negativity that descends upon the world. Shenem. I've also said the idea is the presence of the Tzadik endows the world with a certain amount of light. When the tzaddik is not here, ultimately, again, there is ras, there's darkness that comes through. Shenei Amar, v'atzaddik avad, the tzaddik is lost. V'ein ish sam al lev. No one takes it to heart. V'anshei chesed ne'asafin v'ein mevin kimipnei hara'a ne'asaf atzaddik. Tzaddik bali olam. We'll say we're just going to learn this last time, but we're not being messiah in the mesechta. We'll do that on Wednesday night. But a tzaddik bali olam, ultimately, again, when a tzaddik comes to this world, tova ba'ali olam, good comes to this world, Rabbi say. And again, we'll discuss more at the same exactly what this statement means. Say, and the raya for the Gemara is quite amazing. Shene Amar, ze yenachamenu mi ma'asenu umi itzvon yadenu. Rabbi say, the incredible idea is the raya that a tzaddik has a good impact on this world. Rabbi say, is from who? Is from who? Is from Noach. Which is actually quite dramatically amazing, that Noach seems to be the paradigmatic example of a tzaddik who goes in and brings light to the world. The Rebbe said the idea being that the individual impacts the quality, the fabric, and the nature of this world. That at the end of the day, the tzaddik has an impact, the rasha has an impact, everyone exudes their own light, or chas v'shalom, their darkness upon the greater world. So we'll say, we're not officially being Messiah in the Masechta, we'll be Messiah in Yeres Hashem on Wednesday. I'll say just a few words in closing off on Sanhedrin. First of all, I'll say, a mazel tov. A mazel tov. 113 blots. 113 blots. And we'll say, some of you learned, some of us learned all 113. Some of us didn't learn all 113. But you know what the Gemara says? Echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit ubilvad sheyechavin libo l'shamayim. After 120, the Ribbono Shel Olam does not tabulate how many blat Gemara you learn. I shouldn't say that. I don't know why Hashem does after 120. But I have to believe that Hashem Baruch Hu is not hyper-focused on how many blat you learned. What Hashem Baruch Hu is hyper-focused on is, did you spend your mornings, did you spend your life trying to come closer to me? And I was saying, the beautiful part is every single morning we're zocha to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're tired, we're exhausted. There's a million and one excuses why you don't have to be here. But Baruch Hashem, yaganu umatsanu. We toiled, and Baruch Hashem, we came to the end of this beautiful, magnificent road. It's going to be very difficult to say goodbye to Sanhedrin. Because also, you know, when you learn a Masechta, it's like nafshi kshura b'nafsho. That you form a relationship. Sometimes, again, if we're honest, sometimes your relationship with the Masechta is one of the closest relationships you have in life. For one simple reason, because sometimes you spend more time with Sanhedrin than you spend with your wife. Sometimes you spend more time with Sanhedrin than you spend with your kids. I'm not suggesting that. It's not a good thing. But there's a relationship, I was saying. There's a relationship. You know, the Ribbono Shel Olam calls Torah his daughter. His daughter. The idea being that we have this incredible opportunity to forge this magnificent relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam's daughter. And I will say again, we're going to make a siyum. Wednesday night at 8 o'clock? Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. If you see Ari, if you want to make reservations, we're going to have a beautiful siyum. And we're going to go into this last part of the Gemara. So I don't want to make the siyum now. But I will say, just so you understand the great Tzichus, how many generations of Jews would have loved to have been Messiah, Meseches Sanhedrin. Baruch Hashem, 113 blot, we are Kona, it's ours. And even if I don't remember it with my mind, every word is emblazoned on my soul. And we'll say, tomorrow morning we begin Maseches Makos. And I have one request. I don't ask anything from most of you. The one request is, we'll say, Makos is 24 blot. Make a commitment to be here for 24 days. Unbreakable chain for 24 days, barring unforeseen circumstances. And I will say, no, Shabbos is not easy. Sunday is not easy. Figure it out. Figure it out. Everybody figures out other things in life. Figure out how to be here 24 days, Biritzifus. And again, Baruch Hashem, there's a Shabbos shiur on the other side of town also. I'm not suggesting anyone has to come here. But commit to 24 days of Ritzifus. And I will say one more thing. Commit to 24 days on time. Imkvar, azkvar. If you're going to do it, then do it. For an extra 10, 15 minutes that a person comes in, I will say, no, when you come in late to shir, sometimes it's the pshat that you miss something. You know, Baruch Hashem, is my seat open? Baruch Hashem, that's the one advantage I have. Usually my seat is open. Baruch Hashem, usually, for now at least. We'll see what happens. But I'll say, you know, you come in, and if you're looking for a seat, your mind's not, then I have to get my coffee, I have to sit down, I'm trying not to move my chair 57 million times back and forth. Right? I have to sneeze, I have to cough, I have to this tissues, this, all this, everything. I say, if you get here just a minute early before shiur starts, and a person could get themselves settled, and a person could open their mind and doesn't have to catch up, what line are we up to? Where are we? I'll say, it changes learning experience. If you're going to do it, what's the difference between 5:55 and 5:45? Let's be honest. You are no more rested with an extra 10 minutes of sleep. Garnishment, it doesn't do anything for you. If you told me an extra hour, okay. But at the end of the day, it doesn't do anything. You're not going to feel any better. Oh, I'm so happy I slept until 5:37 instead of 5:25. Such a difference. It's not going to make a difference. But an extra 10 minutes does. And being here like a mensch and being ready to begin a Seder Limud by taking your breath and taking your seat and having your coffee ready does make a difference in your learning, I will say. We've been Kona all of these Masechtos. It's time to take our game up a notch. It's not just enough to learn, but we have to learn with a greater degree of seriousness. I'm asking everyone, and I'm going to be making individual calls today, for 24 days of Ritzifos. We'll discuss the next Masechta after. I'm not worrying about that right now. 24 days of Ritzifos. People say, imagine if we're able to be Messiah Maseches Makos, and every single one of us was at shir, again, barring unforeseen circumstances or travel. I understand people have different things going on. But in a dome at 24 days of continuity, then here a little bit, on and off, let's make it 24 days of being shtark, 24 days of getting to shir on time, 24 days of saying, Ribono Shel Olam, you give me the privilege every single morning to partner with you in learning your Torah Kedosha. We'll say, we have no idea, just like we saw before, one person could impact the world. Can you imagine what the Torah of this Halig Shir could do to this world also? If we say, I'm not just going to come, I'm not just going to show up, then I'm going to show up with Zrizus. I'm going to show up with a seriousness. I'm going to show up with a Kavod Rosh. I'm in this. I am doing this. And Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to come here this morning, and I'm going to be like the Shulchan Aruch says, Shulchan Aruch says that Yehehu Ma'or Es HaShachar Vein HaShachar Ma'orero. Our job is to awaken the morning and not to have the morning awaken us. But we'll say tomorrow we begin a new slate, a new Masechta. It's like Daf Yomi amnesty. Whatever you've done before doesn't make a difference. Or you haven't done before doesn't make a difference. We'll say, and the great part about Makkos is, and with this I know we'll have to close, with this we'll say is, you know, most of us have some type of familiarity with Makkos, because generally, I know I learned it sometime between like 7th grade and Eretz Yisrael. I have no idea when and during that time, but I'm pretty sure it was sometime during that time. So we'll say, it's an incredible opportunity to also reclaim the Talmud Torah of your childhood, to redeem the Talmud Torah of your childhood, which for many of us often doesn't have the best of associations and the best of memories. It's an incredible opportunity to make it something beautiful, to make it something pleasant, to make it something uplifting. So I take this opportunity to wish you, it's a very tame Mazel Tov, because we'll do the more labor-digging Mazel Tov and Yeretz Hashem on Wednesday. And I can't tell you, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight, because I can't wait to Yeretz Hashem begin Maseches Makos with all of you tomorrow. I look forward to the next 24-day journey. Because halavai we should be zocha, that it should take us to the most wonderful, unintended, unanticipated, and exciting of destinations.
Yeah! Yeah. 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 There's a car that has to move.